Invite you to turn your Bibles. If you have a Bible, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. As we continue on in this book, and we're coming to the closing of our brother as he writes to this church at Rome, church that he never had been to before, church that he was not used of the Lord to start. Although there are those that he knows, and in this chapter, this salutation. In closing out the book, we see some connections, okay? And we see some connections. We even maybe get more of an idea when the brother wrote the book. And then another thing that I saw and considered in this is there's going to be a number of names that are he's going to list off here. Some of these we may know. Many of them we do not know about. This is the only time that they're mentioned in the scriptures. But these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can maybe think, we have been given the Word of God, been given the New Testament, been given the writings of the apostles and the other brethren that the Lord used to give us the New Testament, namely apostles, for the operation of the church, namely the Apostle Paul. And we can kind of think that the Lord's work in them is the extent of it. You know, we can think of it in a narrow way. But there were many. There were many that were saved there at Jerusalem, many that were dispersed and scattered abroad. Many of those brethren the Lord called to preach. And just as we have account about Brother Philip going out and preaching and doing the work of an evangelist and all that, there were many other brethren that we don't even know about that went out also. And so we need to remember that. It's bigger, it's larger than just what we read about in the scriptures, but we have the part in the scriptures that the Lord wants us to have so we can know how it is and how we're to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so think about that and consider that as we read this and take a look at this last chapter. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And so Sister Phoebe is there. He goes on to say in verse number 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Okay? So Sister Phoebe is here, and we get indication that the apostle is writing this recommendation to the church of Rome regarding this sister. It well could be that she would be the carrier of the epistle to that church. Could be. And so she is commended by the Apostle Paul. He says she has been a succorer. She has helped many. She has comforted many of the brothers and sisters in Christ that have traveled about, have ministered the word of God, as others that we're going to read about in this chapter. And the Apostle Paul says, she's helped me too. She has helped me. And so I say to you that you receive her. You, the church there in Rome, I tell you and I instruct you, receive her. Receive her as a saint. She is a saint, and you behave, do so. You receive her as it's appropriate, as it's suitable, as it becometh saints. Okay, you be a help to her. And whatever she has there, whatever business she hath need of you, you help her. Okay, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. She has helped many. And so as she comes to Rome, you help her. You know, we live in a day, and we've got to be careful. We live in a day. Let me back up on that. We have to be careful about the things that we hold to and the things that we believe in the scriptures. We need to believe the truth, and we need to stand in the truth. But we need to be careful about maybe our misunderstanding of truth, that it would cause us to shed cause to have doubt about other passages and other scriptures. There is an order among the saints, and there's an order in the family and an order in the church. And the leadership is to be by the men in the church. The leadership is to be by the men in our families. But that doesn't mean that the women are excluded from service and worship of the Lord. There's an order to be followed. And none of it is an excluding of any. This dear sister, if she did carry this letter, there was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. If she was traveling that way, she would have been a candidate to do so. And well, she could do so. And by the Lord's hand of protection upon her and about her arriving at safely at Rome, and the Lord preserving his word by that and by other means later on by this church and the continuing writing over of this epistle, it's been brought down here to you and me today. Okay? Some time ago, I attended a conference, and a brother was, and I don't say this to slam him, I'm not going to say his name, but it was just really, it was kind of a pitiful thing. He was given the subject of women's ministry in the church. He was given that subject of women's ministry in the church. And I felt sorry for him. He's a man that stands strong about the place of the woman and that woman's to be silent in the instruction and the teaching of the church and the business of the church and such as that. But because of those things that he held to, he found it impossible within himself to speak from the Bible about the ministry of women in the Lord's church. Brethren, how would you like it for our church to be without the ladies of our church? It would be terrible, wouldn't it? Our ladies, they do well, and they fill the ministry that is there for them, and they have the reward from God. And the thing is that it's not a thing of limitation by any means, but it's about filling what the Lord has ordained and what he's given us. And their reward is no less or no more than us all. What we're responsible for is what the Lord's given us to do. And ladies, you fill it well and seek to fill it well and continue on to strive to fill it well and more. And our Lord has and will bless you. And we commend you for that. But what a sad thing that it couldn't be preached about the ministry that the ladies have in the Lord's church. And namely, this lady, she was a succorer of many. She gave of herself. She gave of herself to help the saints on their way. How would it be that the Apostle Paul would be helped by one of the Lord's children who is a woman, a lady in the church? Well, she no doubt provided food and maybe provided a place for the folks that were traveling with the Apostle Paul to stay and live. As it is, were the ladies that were with the Lord Jesus, they would wash their clothes and help in that way. And a lot of that, indeed, it's servile type of work, but it's necessary and it's a blessing. And this woman, maybe some of those brethren or some of those in that troop were ill. They were sick and they needed a place to stay. They needed someone to nurse them back to health. Maybe it was so that when the apostle was in a certain city and he was beaten or he was scourged or something such as that, that maybe she was a nurse in that way to try to help and bind up the wounds and help in the healing of those injuries by his standing for the word of God. Ladies, there is a place in a calling and a service that you have in the ministry of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, and in the Lord's church. And seek to fill it well. And I praise the Lord for the ladies in our church. What a sad thing when a brother couldn't bring out about how it would be. It was really pitiful. But he allowed the things that were true that he held to, that it bound him up to where he couldn't go to the Word of God and see what the Scripture plainly says about women and their calling and ministry in the church. And so Phoebe is commended. And notice that the apostle didn't save her for last, but put her first in this chapter. And we have maybe an idea from that she was a carrier of this this epistle to the church at Rome. She is from the church. She's a servant of the church which is at Centuria. And again, another opportunity for me to have the projector and throw a map on the wall. I'm working towards that. I have the things that I need to get accomplished to make that easier to do. Centuria You take a look at the maps that you maybe have in the back of your Bible in the third and fourth missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and you find there the town and the city of Corinth in Greece, and you remember about that, and we have looked a little bit about that in the previous chapter. Centuria is a little town just down the road to the southeast. There in Achaia, the region of Achaia, right down the road from Corinth. You know what? There's a church at Corinth, and there's a church at Centuria. Isn't that something? You know, the thinking of our mind that the only churches that are listed are the seven churches of Asia, and then the churches to which epistles have been written. There's churches all over that region, and all over that land. And think of that. One church in Antioch, having sent out two brethren, and they comb the countryside of Galatia and Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and then go through that region preaching. Think about that. And all those different churches and those different towns and those different places are established. And then Paul and Barnabas, they had contention. Paul takes Silas and yet two men that go forth, other brethren going with them and the subsequent journeys, and churches, even a church at Centuria, is established. So the Lord saves by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go to the Jews first in those synagogues in those towns, and then after that they've spent time with them to the extent that they would receive it or not receive it, they turn to the Gentiles. And the gospel is preached unto the Gentiles, and even Sister Phoebe is among those that are saved. What a blessing. And may the Lord help us with our understanding about the scope of these early New Testament times. It may be greater than what we might just easily or quickly think. In verse number 3, we have this couple here. And what I was thinking about this is going through this chapter, you know, this might be a source for some names for future children, possibly. And so I don't know if they would be used, Stephen and Natalie. I don't know if they would use these names, but there would be an opportunity for them. And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about it. They are with the Lord now. They are alive and with our Lord in heaven in glory now. And they were there. Look here. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, which is the man and which is the husband and which is the wife. Well, we'll straighten that up here in a minute. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks. This couple, and it is a husband and wife, this couple was willing to risk their own lives for the Apostle Paul. They gave to what was necessary for the work and the ministry and calling of the Apostle Paul. He says, greet them for me. So evidently they are there at Rome. Okay. So that's a consideration. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. Listen. But also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, understand, the Apostle Paul is not a pride. He's not filled with pride in any way. But it is the calling. His calling is to be the apostle to the Gentiles. It's just that way. It's the work of God. As the children of Israel, some would rise up and speak against Moses and say, who are you that you take such great power and such great leadership to you? Well, Moses was nothing, but the calling of the Lord was upon him, and that's what mattered, and that's what counted. And so it wasn't about so much about the man, but the calling of God. And the apostle writes here that he thanks Priscilla and Aquila for their faithfulness, for their willing to give of themselves fully, even to the risking of their lives. In our day, in our land, in our culture, we just don't know what that's about. Do we? We just don't know what it's about to risk being captured or incarcerated, to risk being harmed or hurt for the sake of hiding or helping another. We just don't get that. That's just honest. Maybe those that have served in the military and have been in combat and warfare, maybe they might understand such a thing. But you know, we've been so blessed in our country, in our country and our nation, where peace has abounded and we've been able to freely worship and serve. We just don't understand what that's like. But they stepped in. They, if you will, in a way, interceded for the Apostle Paul, whatever it was, whether they hid him, whether they helped him when it was forbidden to help him. Somehow, they put themselves at risk for the sake of the apostle. And he says, greet them for me. Greet them for me. They are there at Rome, and his expectation is that they're there. They are there at Rome, and they laid down their lives for his sake. And he makes this thing that might be considered a boast, but it's not. All the churches of the Gentiles, they thank him too. Because if I had not been able to live, from the human standpoint, that witness would have not gone abroad unto them. Well, Brother Jim, we know that by the providence and divine course and operation of the Lord that the Apostle Paul was going to make it. Yeah, we know that after the fact. But the Apostle Paul and those brethren from where they live and where we live here in this life, we don't know what's going to happen. And we pray to our Lord that he will work. And so, well, they would be thankful that the Lord blessed, used these people to help and spare the life of the apostle, that he might reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. We want to take a look here at Aquila and Priscilla and give them consideration and where they're mentioned in the scriptures. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1. Okay. Acts 18, verse number 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens down in Greece and came to Corinth. Okay. And so Phoebe is of Centuria, just right down the road, okay? But this is the first visiting of Corinth by the Apostle Paul with the gospel, okay? And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, okay? Lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Okay, so we get the gender straightened out there. You could see how both of those could be, those kind of names we could understood to be feminine in any way. But Aquila is the husband and Priscilla is the wife. And listen to what it says here. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. So they are Jewish. Okay? They're Jews. And they are found by the Apostle Paul at Corinth. So Aquila and Priscilla had been at Rome. Claudius says, all the Jews get out of here. And so Aquila and his wife, they go over to Greece, next country over to the east, right? And they go to Corinth, and they're found there by the Apostle Paul, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Okay, so Aquila and Priscilla are tent makers. And so is the Apostle Paul. That was his secular work, if you will, as we refer to it. And so that's where he meets up with them and engages them. So they had been driven from Rome and had come to Corinth. And then the Apostle Paul came down to Corinth, and there he met them, okay? And they are Jews also. Listen, it goes on to say, and it says, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath there in Corinth and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, okay? And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia up north in Greece, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Okay, so Jesus of Nazareth, okay, that's his earthly name and what was commanded of the Lord for the Lord to be named and where he was from, Jesus of Nazareth, that he is the Messiah. Okay, so the Old Testament scriptures tell about Messiah, and Paul brought it and made the connection with them that Jesus of Nazareth, he is Messiah. Okay, and when they opposed themselves and blaspheme, he shook his raiment. Why did he do that? Well, that's what the Lord said to do, okay? To shake off the dust off of their shoes and off of their raiment. It would be a testimony against the Jews. And said unto them, your blood be on your own upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So I've brought the gospel to you, and you have begun to blaspheme and opposing yourself. I'm doing as my Lord has commanded, and I'm going to take this message to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered to a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Okay, so he's right next door. Okay. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Okay, so now Crispus, a Jew, And the leader, the ruler of the synagogue, he's the chief in the synagogue. He and his house, they receive Christ. They believe on him. They're saved. They believe the preaching of Paul. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. They said, we identify with Christ. We believe and we receive that Jesus of Nazareth, the man that you preach and tell about and that we've heard about and that you preach about, that he is the answer to the scriptures, that he's the one. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city, in Corinth. And so the Lord gives him directive about what to do. Hey, I've got a lot of Gentiles in this city, Paul, and nobody's going to set their hand forth to hurt you. You preach, okay? And don't hold your peace. Don't worry so much about being tender and gentle. You just put it out there, okay? Put it out there. And there is that in the way that he behaved amongst the Corinthians for their sakes. But he said, preach, speak it, and don't hold your peace. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And so then it goes on to say, let's read this. And when Galileo, the deputy of Achaia, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge in such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. And so this accusation that they had against Paul about what the scriptures said and all that, it said, we don't want any part of that. We're not, the civil government isn't going to deal with that. You know, if it was some moral thing, something that, you know, of a crime or something like that, but this stuff here, you just get out of here. These Gentiles leaders, they didn't want it, didn't understand what the issue was. Just get out of here. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Okay, so see, they're taking this that Paul has preached and the change that is made in many as it being another thing that the Jews are stirring up. Those Jews, they're stirring things up again. And so they take Sosthenes, a chief ruler of the synagogue, because we understood earlier that Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. But you know what? After Crispus believed, he was probably no longer the chief ruler of the synagogue, okay? And so they take Sosthenes and beat him before the judgment seat, and Galileo cared for none of these things. It didn't had no effect on him, okay? Verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And so we see the apostle here, if we understand it correctly, he's wanting to get back to Jerusalem in time. It was a purpose that he have. And we see here Cenchrea being named, okay? While he was not only at Corinth, but went down and preached at Cenchrea, or those from Cenchrea come to Corinth and heard him preach and heard the gospel and were saved. He went over there to that little town just a little bit, again, to the east, southeast of Corinth, and preached to them. And there he had a purpose. He had a vow, purposing to go on. And Priscilla and Aquila sailed with him to Syria. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast. Okay, so I believe that's what it's talking about, the vow that he has. He wants to get to Jerusalem in time for this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus and continued on down. And when he come to and landed at Caesarea and gone up, that is going up to Jerusalem, and saluted the church, he went back or down to Antioch. And so that concludes, that's the end of the second missionary journey. So we see him meeting Aquila and Priscilla there in Corinth. He's there in Corinth for a year and a half. Seems that they're there with him for a year and a half. And then they go with him as far as Ephesus. And then he continues on to Jerusalem for the feast, report to the apostles and fellowship with the apostles there, and then back up to Antioch. Then we come here. Let's go ahead and read this. And after he had spent some time there at Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Pergia. Okay, this is the beginning of the third missionary journey, as we refer to it, in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Okay, now who did the Apostle Paul leave at Ephesus? Well, Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So Apollos, He somehow, either directly from John or some of the disciples of John the Baptist, some of the apostles, some of the followers or disciples of John the Baptist that weren't enjoined to the church, okay? It could have been somehow either by directly from John the Baptist or from his disciples. It says this, knowing only the baptism of John, we believe that he was baptized, okay? But how that is an interesting thing. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay, let's read on. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they filled in some gaps for Apollos regarding, you know, it seems he has the preaching of John the Baptist saying the Messiah is at hand, the Messiah is coming, and the Messiah is at hand. But there were some things that he didn't have that had happened after that with the ministry of the Lord Jesus and those things, okay, which is an interesting fare. And Aquila and Priscilla, they heard about him, they took him and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly, okay? So how would that be? Well, it would be telling of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is the Messiah coming, that John preached about, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he'll gather the wheat into the garner. Remember what John preached? He preached to those Pharisees that came down to be baptized of him. He said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Apollos knew those things, okay? But they helped him to understand more about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in that. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia. Now, where's that? That's over there in southern Greece. Okay. Aquila and Priscilla are at Ephesus. They help and instruct Apollos more perfectly about the gospel and the ministry of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. What would they also do? They tell him about the church, wouldn't they? They would tell him about the church and those things of the church and the ministry of the church. So he was disposed to pass into Achaia, southern Greece, and that region of Corinth and Centuria and that. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Okay, so he was bold in the Lord, and he preached, okay? And he preached that message that John preached, and it seems indeed that he was baptized by John, okay? And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, so the brethren at Ephesus wrote, exhorting the disciples of Achaia to receive him, who when he was come helped them much who had believed through grace. So he went to Achaia, and he helped the brethren there at Corinth and Centuria and that. Listen, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Okay, and so listen to this in verse 25, a comparison here regarding Brother Apollos. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay, so he knew what John preached. If you will, he was his disciple. Okay, and it says nothing here about Brother Apollos being baptized. So we believe that he would have the baptism of John, baptized by John. But he didn't know about the filling and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Priscilla and Aquila instructed him, in the way of God more perfectly about the ministry of the Lord, about the gospel of the Lord and his fulfilling that, about the Lord's church and what they were doing. And now our brother is found in Corinth helping those churches, helping those brethren, and now he's showing in the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Okay? So very interesting indeed. And so we see here in this chapter 18 about Brother Aquila and Sister Priscilla. Now, when this, at the time that we see here in Acts, in the second missionary journey and the first ministry at Corinth, that's when the church was established, okay, in Corinth. That's when they first had preaching, and the Lord told Paul that there's many, not that there wouldn't be any there that were saved, but we understand from the Apostle Paul's ministry in Corinth that the church there was established. And we know about this church in Centuria. At that time, Priscilla and Aquila had been run out of Rome. Okay? But now when the apostle writes the epistle to the church at Rome, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Okay? And we know that earlier in that second missionary journey, at the end of it, that they traveled with him from Corinth to Ephesus after a year and a half being there in Corinth. Okay? So sometime, it seems to me, between that time when he left them in Ephesus, they're working with Apollos going back to Corinth, and in that third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, because remember in the last chapter we saw that he had gone back to Corinth to take their almsgiving back to the churches and the brethren in Judea. So somewhere it seems that in that third missionary journey, as the brother is down in Greece, down maybe back at the church at Corinth, down maybe back at the church at Centuria, he writes this epistle to the church at Rome. Because who's carrying the letter? It seems like Sister Phoebe from Centuria is carrying the letter. Okay. Now, those are details that we don't have to have those details, but understand it does help us to put all the pieces together. These are true accounts and real accounts of real people. And if that helped, that will help us. It's not essential. But desiring to be good Bible students, they are pieces and parts that will help us to put the names and the places and the people together, just like it is with our lives and our accounts. And maybe someday our children or folks that knew of us would want to know about the dealings of Olmsted Baptist Church. Okay? And so it's good for us to put together. We'll go back here quickly in verse number 5 of Romans chapter 16. Notice this also. I find this interesting. Greet Priscilla and Aquila being the brother, Priscilla being the sister, and they are husband and wife, but our brother and our sister. It says here in verse number 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. So, well, could be that our brother Aquila is a pastor, okay? And so it was an interesting time, a dynamic time to be the Lord's children and be in one of the Lord's churches. They don't seem to have a building, do they? But they do have the Lord, don't they? And they don't have, grounds and such as that, but they do have their calling, don't they? And the witness and the testimony was this of Apollos. You know, he was eloquent and he knew what John had preached and he knew the scriptures. And so they said, let's take this man, let's teach him, let's tell him some more things. And they did. And the ministry continued on. Each one having their calling, each one having what the Lord wanted them to do. And you know what? That's what you and I need to do. We need to obey our Lord and meet that our Lord has given us. Our brothers and sisters that have gone before us. You know what? As it said over there, and the wording is so, Aquila and Priscilla instructed Apollos. Wait, Brother Jim, women aren't supposed to instruct men. You know what? We sit around and talk about the Bible and talk about different things and such like that, and we all teach one another. And there is an order in the church, and I'm not saying that we should depart from that at all. We need to hold to that. That's what's pleasing to our Lord. But you know what? When we talk about the scriptures and we ask questions about the scriptures, or we bring up questions and different things about the scriptures, as we sit over the kitchen table and talk about the scriptures, we all help and teach one another. I mean, what mother wouldn't help their children? What father, of course, wouldn't help their children? And so here it is, and we see these different ones, and they're tying together. Greet the church that is in their house. And then it goes on to say, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, okay, Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. He was one of the first ones that was saved down there in southern Greece. Isn't that something? And he's there at Rome, next country over, okay? Can't remember what that see is, but he's over there in Italy, what we would say modern-day Italy in Rome. And as he writes this letter to them, carried by Sister Phoebe from the church at Centuria, it seems that it would be after the apostle had been by Corinth and was on his way back to Jerusalem with those alms that he writes this epistle unto them. We'll stop there for now and pick it up here next time. Again, a lot of folks are going to be named. The Lord knows who they are. One day we will get to meet them. And may we be encouraged by the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the testimony that's given about this.